It has been running for about 15 years now, and it started under the leadership of Dr. Jaroslav Jirsa, who had a great culture context within Prague literary culture. And he one day, as a test case, decided to publish English translation of Zdeněk Jirotka's Saturnin, which is a back then it was just a humor novel, same as any other Czech humor novels. And today it's a widely publicized. It's been the book of the century. It's book of my heart in two popular contests. Back then it was not as known as it is today, and it was just a test case whether we can market and sell an English translation of fiction.
Who was the intended audience? Were you going for an audience here?
It actually started because there was a translator who was lecturing at the Faculty of Arts, and he wanted to translate something, so they started it with fiction. After some years, we realized we can actually keep doing this, and there were more principal questions involved, and they decided to include not just humor novels, but also some more challenging novels. Like Ladislav Vančura's Rozumarné léto, traditionally regarded as non-translatable. Only Czechs are supposed to understand it. It's a typical Czech humor. No one, it's not translatable, which is highly debatable. And we decided to tackle this issue, not just because of the translation, but also to tackle this common cliche that things can only exist in Czech language, and other, if you were not born and bred in Prague, you can't understand it. So that's the origins of this series. It started to grow, and the big change came when we finally, after many years of searching, found a really good distributor, which is the University of Chicago Press. From then, it wasn't just for Prague market, but this international distributor and the level of organization really needs a lot of planning, a lot of information being prepared well in advance, and it also meant a great opportunity for our academic books in English. And from then on, we could really think about creating something like an English program, which is today about 15-20% of our overall production, but originally it was a try and error procedure. There are whole new agendas around this series, but it wouldn't be if Jaroslav Jirsa didn't have a friend, the translator. Ironically, this side project opened the door for our main activities, because it's not an easy thing to find an English, a stable English distributor, which provides you access to, in this case, to all world markets.
I would venture that through classic literature, it's a great way to expose the country's soul a little bit for people to understand a bit of this part of Central Europe deeper. When I was growing up, there were, you know, only a handful of authors from this country on the shelves, one of them being Jaroslav Hašek, but not much more. I could talk about Kafka, but of course he didn't write in Czech. So
still a part of Czech culture.
Of course, yes. So in many ways, some of the books that are in this line must be revealing. You mentioned the book, I believe in English it's called Capricious Summer, which was made into a film by Menzel, a famous movie. What are some of the other titles that are notable in this series?
Well, thank you for mentioning Menzel's film, because the series developed into a communication tool with Bohemisté, the Czech literature studies expert scholars working in anywhere in the world. And we talk to them and ask them what type of literature they discuss with their students and how they discuss it, and what part of their courses is actual literature and what is a broader aerial studies or culture studies. And film has been a major part of any Czech studies program for decades, and especially after the Czech Nová filmová vlna,
the new wave.
New wave. They are films like Rozmarné léto or Closely Observed Trains or The Shop on the Main Street. That's our next project. It will be released this autumn. And so we, in a communication with these foreign scholars, are developing this series, and including the media or film adaptations of classical works of Czech literature. It's not some kind of a best of Czech literature, but it's a tool for actually teaching students or attracting new students, or to say it more like with a mission, the university has a role of spreading Czech culture or spreading knowledge and Czech culture into the public and internationally, of course, and this is one of the tools. And we are glad that the foreign scholars are cooperating with us and sharing their knowledge of, and tips what to translate. Sometimes they themselves are translators, of course. Sometimes they write afterwards. Sometimes they take part in translation competitions. Like we actually do sometimes have a alternative translators and have a sort of a commission what translations to choose.
Translating in itself, you really have to have a deep understanding, a talent, but also kind of sixth sense for the language. I mean, I know you work with regularly the same translators or some of the same translators, so you know their style, but it must be interesting when you get something on the page and it pops and it has the same feeling, yet it's a different language.
To me, literature is a dialogue, and producing literature is also to some extent a dialogue, and in the case of translation even more so, because there is no one single way how to translate a thing, and literature, of course, fiction is a very complex set of issues or contents to cover. It's not just on a linguistic level, but it's a cultural communication issue, and a good translator, of course, has to be a really good writer in his target language. We start with a sample and with some sort of trials, and of course, when we work with stars like David Short or Alex Zucker, we know how they translate, but they still, as professionals, are happy for any input and any second opinion. And this process is useful then in marketing, because we are, it's not just a matter of printing a book. The book actually happens in the reader's head, and to get there, it's a long process.
Would you say that the interest in the market or the different markets have grown?
We live in a more interconnected world, and English is the lingua franca, of course, but somehow as a counter reaction or counterbalancing reaction, there is more interest in translation studies. When we started, less than 1% of global works were translated into English. Now, about 10 years ago, there was at the University of Richmond, they started a foundation called 3%, because they wanted to raise awareness of the importance of translations into English and to get to the number of 3%. And today, this foundation is actually funded by Amazon, and translation studies are highly trendy. There are new awards, there is more space in social and print media, and English is dominant, but also more flexible or more open to translations from other languages. And there is a growing interest in communication with smaller cultures or with other cultures.
I used to regularly hear from a kind of expert on Schweig in the United States, and the gist of his emails was that For example, the translation by Cecil Parrott of The Good Soldier Schweik into English was outdated, it was old, and he had another one to offer. To your knowledge, has anybody else officially tackled The Good Soldier?
Well, I have to be careful here because we have our own plans, which would be too early to disclose. But I would agree, yes, Cecil Parrott's translation is still on the market by Penguin Classics, but it's been published in 63, I think. So any classical work requires after sometimes a new interpretation, not just because of language, but things change. Translation studies certainly did and are changing. And not surprisingly, the new German translation of Schweik became a bestseller. Not only it was selling well, but it's a new reinterpretation of Schweik. It's Germans, because of the interpretation or translation, the older one, saw Schweik as a humor novel and kind of a caricature in Brecht's cabaret style, and there is, as we know, so much more to Hašek, and the new translation brought these other aspects, rather Kafkaesque or absurd, into the foreground, and this new reinterpretation after almost 100 years I think brought new life to Schweik in Germany, and in this, and because Schweik is such a flagship, it helped even the overall Czech culture.
The translation itself has a kind of shelf life or a half life. Interesting. Maybe then I shouldn't ask if there's any sort of great white whale of a book that you're still pursuing.
There is one. I hope we are seeing a publication date for this project. It's a highly complex thing. It's Ludvík Vaculík's Český snáč, a Czech dream book, which is the English translation, has itself an interesting history, because the translation has been finished 20 years ago, but it was commissioned by Random House, one of the big five American or international major corporations in publishing, and Vaculík in the end, which it was a great opportunity for him to become rich and famous, but he declined the contract because he wasn't happy with the role Random House assigned to the translator. He wanted to support the translator more, and he wanted for the translator to have a separate contract, as he should. So Vaculík, as a publisher himself in the underground Petlice series or publishing enterprise, he stood against Random House and declined this offer, which I greatly admire, but for the English reader, we had to wait until hopefully next year.
We've been talking about the different books in the series and about the importance of marketing. I wanted to ask you about the overall look, whether it's the look largely of one graphic designer, because I think Saturnin, when it was published, it used illustrations by the late Adolf Born,
yes.
But the rest of the series has a different kind of cover or face.
Yes. There was a development, and of course Saturnin is a popular novel, it's a humor novel, but rather different to the other fiction novels in this series. And when we were thinking about branding of this series, we thought, this is before the digital era, we thought, it's classics, so you can either do classics in a paperback and the cheapest possible print, or you can offer it as a sort of a gift wrapping. And we had to choose the latter option to cover the translation costs. As I said, this is an independent series without grants, and we can't use university money for this. It has to be independent. So the marketing approach was to find a rather luxurious format on a very nice paper with special binding, and with illustrations, because we wanted to create something more durable and something of a gift. And it has been working well. We've received even good reviews in abroad, where on some markets, most of them actually, there is no tradition of illustrated books for adults. You usually illustrate children's books. But we've received really good reviews on the fact that it is illustrated and well produced, and in a digital era where you can read anything on a screen, it's another sort of added value to have a physical, aesthetical impression while reading.